Philippians 3, verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Perhaps we could say in that 11th verse, he comes to the point of the resurrection really from among the dead, and then he goes back, as it were, to our present pathway until that glorious event takes place, which he speaks of in the last verse, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. But he goes back in the 12th verse and, as it were, has the pathway before us, pathway through this world having Christ as our object and going on with Him as our object and seeking to be in our lives in conformity to Him. So that really the practical part of it begins with the 12th verse. Not as though I had already attained, either we're already perfect. That is, we're still here in this scene. And it won't be until the Lord comes that we'll be perfect in every way. Body, we'll have the old man will be gone. We'll be just like Christ. But we should have that desire to be like Him even now. And this is the Christian pathway.
We'll be perfect then because we'll know as we're known.
Yes.
Now we only know partly now and dimly, but there is a thought of perfect as used in the 15th verse, let us therefore as many as be perfect. There is a thought there of a Christian today who's matured in the things of God, who's able to take in strong meat, and it's nice that we can all attain to that. It doesn't mean we don't sin, doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It's not that kind of perfect. It's full grown or mature by a believer. It's a beautiful thought. The first perfect, as Gordon said, we'll have when we get to glory. But there is a perfect, in a sense, for a believer. And I believe in Matthew 5, the last verse, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now in that sense, it's to seek to follow Paul, he says, as I have followed the Lord. In that sense, our walk would speak well, and we could take in more of the truth. And that's really the thought of perfect today.
God always sets a perfect object before us. While He makes provision for our failure, He doesn't say when any man sin, if any man sin. So God always sets a perfect object before our souls. Said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, there is our brother just mentioned in Matthew, be therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He doesn't say, well, it's all right for you to fail occasionally, but be as nearly perfect as you can. God sets a perfect object before us. He makes full provision, but alas, we fail. So provision is made for our failure, but God never lowers the standard. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk even as he walked. Christ is ever the perfect standard set before our souls. Provision for our failure, I say, but not excuse for our failure. It's because we didn't draw upon the resources that are provided for us.
It's interesting to notice that the Apostle Paul takes a very low place, because he says in the middle of that 12th verse, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. He takes that low place. But when you go down to the 15th verse, he admits that there were some that were perfect, were mature. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. So it shows that that is a condition that is attainable.
Our brother Walter Carter talked a little bit differently in that 15th verse. Others that I heard, he said that perfect in the 15th verse is those who have Christ as their object. They have got a perfect object. And it seems to me it fits better than full grown, because Paul would say, as you would say in the 12th verse, not as though I had already attained or were full grown. He follows after that. And then going on in the 12th verse, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. So it fits the 14th verse. Paul says, I have pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had that mark at the end of the journey, and God always sets a perfect object before us. So Potter's teaching seems to fit the 15th verse real well, I think. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, have that goal before the soul. The person at the end of it, a perfect object. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And then Paul said, brethren, be followers together of me. Well, he had Christ as the goal before his soul. I pressed toward the mark. So follow him. And mark them which walk so that you have us for an example. Don't change the object of God, Christ in glory.
If Christ is the sole object, that would be perfect for a Christian. That's true. Also, if you're able, if you're mature as a Christian, Christ would be the sole object. I believe it's probably interchangeable there in that thought. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 and, or verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe that would be one who had Christ as his sole object.
I don't know whether I grasp, excuse me, what you were saying.
Well,
was it that the two perfects were slightly different in their meaning?
Brother Potter didn't teach it was full growth. He taught that it was those who have Christ as their object. And it seems to fit because Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I'm not full grown, but be followers of me, because I have Christ as my object.
But what did he mean when he said, I am not perfect?
Which verse is that?
12. Neither were already perfect.
Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. That is, he hadn't come to the end of the journey yet, but he desired, in the as he says here, I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The thought in apprehend is, why did the Lord lay hold of me to make me something short of just like Christ? No. And Paul hadn't fully laid hold of that, but he desired that it would be so. I follow after, if that I may, shall I put it this way, lay hold of that for which I've been laid hold of by Christ. And so every believer in this room, why did the Lord lay hold of me? To make me partly like his beloved Son? No, to make me fully like his beloved Son. And now he's seeking to do this in our pathway here. It won't be until the end of the pathway that we'll be perfect. That is, we won't have any fallen nature. We'll have glorified bodies. Every believer in heaven will be just like Christ morally and physically. Paul desired that he would lay hold of in his own soul the purpose that the Lord had in laying hold of him. So he carries on the thought that he's seeking to produce that morally now, but in the end, in the last verse, it'll be completed when the Lord comes and we'll be physically like him. And I quote the verse again. It's in John's epistle. It says, he that saith he abideth him in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That is, God has given us a life that enables us to do that. He's given us the power, but we all fail because we still have the old man within. So if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But he never lowers the standard. I think it's very beautiful the way it's brought before us here.
Figures of a runner running a race, and the prize that he's going for is not in this world. It's out of this world. It's in glory. And I think that's so important for us to keep in mind. So often we strive for things down here, things that are right, perhaps in their place, But they are not the ultimate goal of the believer in the Lord Jesus. The ultimate goal is Christ in glory, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not to be anything down here. It's to something up there in glory that he's pressing towards. And there's singleness of heart in his desire to do this. It's one thing I do. It's only in the measure that there's singleness of heart that everything takes its proper light in this world. And I sometimes say to young people, it's really important that you stop sometime and think, what is my object here in this life? Sometimes I see young people with a desire to get a good job, a good career. And those are proper things in their place, but that cannot be the right overall objective of a believer. It cannot be. If your sights are set on anything down here, they're set too low. You may have other sub-objectives, but they must all relate to that one overall objective, and then to pursue it with all our energy. I still remember what Mr. C.H. Brown used to say, the literal translation of verse 14. Down to the goal I press. In other words, it's a picture of an athlete on the last stretch toward the goal, and he's putting everything he has into it. Brethren, if we would see the goal more clearly, nothing, nobody could hinder us from running like Paul ran for that prize. Because we get distracted by things down here. Paul was raptured into the third heaven. He saw the goal, and nothing could stop him. Nothing could hinder him from running. And it says, that goal becomes clear in our soul's apprehension of it by faith, that we too will run as we ought to run as Christians.
In our portion here, especially the 15th verse, it is individual. Paul is encouraging his brethren. And so he could say, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. It's something of individual attainment and desire. That's the thought. There is a perfect applied to the church. And that will not be until we're in glory. The body of Christ is in glory. And that's in Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 4. And I won't go into all of it, but the Lord, when he ascended, gave gifts to the church, and for reasons. Now I'll read 12. For perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the status of the fullness, a stature of the, I think that stature really means age or something, of the fullness of Christ. In other words, the body of Christ, the church, will not reach that till we're whole. But that he's provided what would make it possible today. We have all we need, and the Spirit too, but it can't be until we're presented to the Father as blameless, perfect, according to that perfect man. So it's nice to see that one as to the church, but individually it's a little different. And I do believe it's Christ the one object, but it can only be to those that are mature as a Christian.
I believe that passage there in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians 4 is that is the object of ministry. That is the object of ministry, is that those who are listening and those who receive what is ministered would become more and more like Christ. And so, not just partially like him, God would have us to give out the whole truth of God with that desire. So a brother stands up what is before him that the ones who are listening might be more like Christ. And so that's the object of all ministry, that there would be that, that they might come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It will not be so down here, but that's the object of ministry. And any brother that ministers seeks to present the full likeness, moral likeness to Christ, as that which is the object before our souls, even though we all fail. And so he even makes provision here, if in anything be otherwise minded, God is able, again, at all see things alike. But if we're willing, God will make these things clear to us, and that's very good for us to remember. Someone said, well, if such great men as Mr. Darby and Mr. Kelly differed, who are we? But the point to remember is that God is willing on his part. And he is willing, if there's anything that we don't see clearly, let's ask the Lord to help us to see it clearly, because if there's any hindrance, it's not on God's part, it's our part. And so we find the same in John, where it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If we're willing to do it, God is willing to teach us.
We've already been carried over to the last verse here, where we get the new body, and that's a further attainment, at least, apprehension of perfection. If we go to the Hebrews 11, we see that in the last verse of Hebrews 11. There's going to be a perfection as to the body too. And it says about those heroes of faith and ourselves in the last verse of Hebrews 11, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That is, God does bring those heroes of faith into the state of the new creation as to the body until he brings us in. We all arrive there at the same time. That will really be perfection as to body, soul, and spirit in that glory state. Nice to look on forward to that whole thing.
We'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That is, we'll receive our new bodies. And it's true that those who have died in faith at this moment are in the conscious enjoyment of the presence of the Lord, absent from the body and present with the Lord. But they're not going to get their new bodies till we do. That's going to take place at the resurrection, at the shout,